Just as God commanded his son to be born through humble means, he often works through small, unexpected ways to fulfill his promises to us. That's what your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will learn in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, O Bethlehem. This arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 5 through 9. O Bethlehem is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Bethlehem.
I love our holiday traditions, like the Christmas tree, where we go out and we chop down a tree and we put it in our living room. Kind of sounds like the behavior of a drunk man, really. Some woman wakes up.
Honey, why is there a pine tree in our living room?
I like it. We're gonna decorate it for Jesus.
That's comedian Jim Gaffigan. Part of his routine on the strange practices of the Christmas season or the holiday seasons. Now, the Christmas tree is one of them. I was actually out earlier today with my wife and two kids. We were looking around for a tree, looking for something inexpensive, trying to figure out where to put it in our tiny little house. It's just something that is done in the Wilkin house. It's something that we do. My wife insists on it, and every ornament goes on the tree. Now, what has pop culture done to the Christmas season? Joining us for our biweekly series on pop culture to talk about pop Christmas, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. He's pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Oaks, North Dakota, creative director of Worldview Everlasting TV, and author of the book Broken, Seven Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break As Often as Possible. Jonathan, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Yeah, Merry Advent.
Now, you're right, we're not yet to the Christmas season, but every family kind of goes through this, the settling in on Christmas traditions, some of them from the church, some of them from the culture as well. You actually kind of can illustrate this with a story about you, your wife, and your plastic Christmas tree.
Right. This is pretty normal, I think, for a lot of Americans now that we have the artificial trees, right? And, for many years going through seminary and whatnot, we had bought this, like, 3-foot-tall artificial tree that's supposed to go at the foot of, like, a very wealthy person's staircase. You maybe have 2 of them there. We'd use that as our main tree for many years. It finally just kind of burnt out, got broken. So we were without a tree and just trying to figure out what to do for a couple years. We didn't really want to spend the money on a live tree and go through all the effort. So one year my wife took clippings from the yard that were dead branches, and we decorated that instead. It looked really pretty and everything. But the last year, my dad got sick of all this. My dad just, he's fed up with it. And I'm going to buy you a tree. And so he went out and he got us a very, very nice 7-foot-tall artificial tree, top of the line, and we set it up, moved it with us up here, and we had just set it up. They were here for Thanksgiving. We set it up last week or week and a half ago, and so Meredith and I are sitting there a couple nights ago, just looking at it, and it struck me. So not only do we have this bizarre habit, which Jim Gaffigan really picks up on, we're going to go and we're going to take outside things and put them inside. We're going to take trees and put them in our living rooms, and we're going to take all our lights, we're going to put our lights outside. We go to all this extreme for this kind of strange backwardness. But then as Americans, we kind of get tired of all the effort it takes, and so we fake it. You know, we're not even going to get a real tree. We're going to set up a plastic tree in our living room, 7 feet tall. We're going to decorate it with lights, and we're going to sit there and stare at it. And then we were talking about, too, is like, oh, man, the only thing about an artificial tree, you don't really have the smell. And so she's like, yeah, I meant to go buy a scented candle this year so I could light it in the back of the room and have a pine smell in the room for the fake tree, right? And it's just, we're sitting there giggling about the entire thing because we Americans are so weird. We really are. If aliens came down and saw these plastic trees in our living rooms, I mean, what would they think about this? You can trace how we got there, little steps at a time. But what does it mean? And what does it have to say about our, I don't know, our disposable culture, our pretend culture, the culture where facades matter more to us than authenticity? You know, as much as various movements in the church are always digging for authenticity, where our culture is driven by images, pictures, and in some ways, what's on the surface matters so much more than what's underneath. And then you got to ask the question, well, okay, so what does that say about how we view holidays as a culture. The word holiday itself comes from the phrase holy days. American holy days, American holidays are consumer-driven festivals of disposable things. Well, what does that say about our civil religion? What does that say about our view of God? And then I think that the most important question is, what does that say, or how do we as Christians not let that view of spirituality dominate and displace our real holy days in the church, our real religious celebration? So I am not against Christmas trees or plastic Christmas trees. I have one. But I am concerned about how much my culture might impose that preference for facades and fake things on the experience, the religious ritual that I hold dear because of what it's really about, which is real, isn't fake at all.
You hinted at this earlier, but one of the things that pop culture has done to Christmas is started it way, way too early. Let's talk about, really, as you said, Merry Advent. Let's talk about the season that we're in right now and how the church doesn't benefit from following the world's calendar here.
Right, and this is, I don't know, sometimes I wonder, this is such an unwinnable battle ultimately, and it's so worth fighting at least on the ground level, that Christmas starts, I even saw memes this year making fun of Christmas starting before Thanksgiving. You had the turkey like saying, stand back, Santa, you don't get any time until my time's over, right? You have the Christmas decorations going up in late October, So that's all happening in the world around us. And then as soon as Thanksgiving hits, right, we got this mass shopping spree. Black Friday is a holiday in itself. And yet for the church, we're just beginning Advent, which really, and Pastor Peterson has been, I've been listening to his stuff the last couple of weeks, what you guys are doing with him. And, you know, Advent really isn't about Christmas at all. It bleeds into Christmas, if I can use that metaphor. It kind of trickles off into the resurrection, or not the resurrection, excuse me, the incarnation. But initially, Advent is about the end of the world still. It's about knowing this age is going to pass away, and that nothing here is really established or matters. It's so counter to what Christmas is trying to do as a winter fest. You know, Christmas in American culture is more winter festival time now, where it's all about life on this earth being as good as you can get it while you can get it. And Advent's more about like saying, letting go of that, right? That I'm going to kind of pre-Lent or secondary Lent repent in dust and ashes and recognize the frailty of all things. And so certainly the culture is not serving us, right? And when we don't know what Advent is, you know, what is lost then from our Christmas celebration? What is lost from our preparation for the return of our Lord? Or can you imagine trying to celebrate Easter without Lent or without Holy Week? What that would do to Easter morning, it would take away a great deal of the celebration. You hadn't been in any type of suffering before that. Without Good Friday, I mean, really, what are you alleluia-ing about? And in some ways, that is what happens then to Christmas. And then this is my fear. I mean, I really don't think that we can impose Advent on the world outside of us. I don't think that's a battle worth fighting. But again, my fear is that through this, we lose what Christmas really means within the church itself, what the incarnation is about, God becoming man, the mystery of this entire thing. And similarly, then, even in Advent, what do we lose? We lose, in the last couple of weeks, the triumphal entry of the king's return, which we're still waiting for, right? The preaching of John, you know, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And he's talking to all of us, right? And then this coming Gaudete, this momentary relief. Wait, we know why he's coming, because he's merciful and gracious. And then we get the Annunciation that fourth week with Mary's Magnificat coming out. And I will rejoice in the Lord. I will magnify the Lord because of what he's doing, saving me a sinner. All of that is prepping us for those angels singing on Christmas Eve. It lifts it up. And you lose that if it's all just reindeer and snowmen. You know, it's just a very different holy day.
I get the sense, and I think I'm pretty sure about the first part of this, that pop American Christianity about 30 years ago started a binge on pop culture. It just consumed it. And then eventually was consumed by it. But in about the last 5-10 years, it seems as though they're kind of waking up from that you know, night of carousing with pop culture and saying, wait a minute, maybe there is something that the church has that the world, that is better than what the world offers here. They're by little, maybe beginning to rediscover things like Advent and the church's true celebration of Christmas. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I hope so. I don't know. I don't know that I've seen that much. Maybe I listen to Parachristian Radio too much, but I just see the evangelical world getting further and further away from its roots and looking more and more like some sort of real paganism. But I can imagine that any faithful Christian in any denomination, watching the deterioration of our culture and all of its virtues, including the love of beauty, is going to be more and more disturbed by what they're seeing, and in that way began grappling around, looking for something to cling to that isn't, I'm going to speak about the joke a little bit, but that isn't made of plastic, that is a real, authentic religion. And the only way to have authentic religion, you can't make it up. You cannot make up an authentic religion. It's impossible. You have to receive it from something that came before. And so you then must go back to the traditions one way or the other, the history of the church before us, and find some security there. Now, the danger, of course, is that they're going to find Roman Catholic tradition and Eastern Orthodox tradition and these church bodies that have more or less refused to capitulate to the culture externally, at least in their visible elements. And so in that sense, look authentic, and yet sadly, as we would confess, they do not have the authentic gospel. They are Christian, they confess the creed, but they are missing the full free conscience of grace alone. And so I guess I'm worried not only that it's not going to happen, but that when it does happen, that the Lutheran Church has just wonderfully positioned ourselves to miss the boat if and when there are some people looking to get on. I don't know, Todd. It's a challenging world we live in, and I think what we have left before us as Lutherans is to know what we believe, why we believe it, cling to what we have, study our history, seek to pass that heritage on to our children, and then pray for the Lord's mercy through all of this. And that's the good news in this entire thing, too. I mean, he really doesn't care about a plastic tree. I've been in Christian groups before at college where they were teaching us that Christmas trees are pagan and that Jeremiah prophesied them and that you got to get rid of it or you're not a Christian. I mean, we're not in that boat either. We have one foot in each kingdom, so to speak, and there's nothing wrong with putting some lights on your house. But the question again comes back to, so where are we going to put our real hope? Is my hope just in these pretty lights on the outside of my house? Is my hope just in a story about a refugee, right? A refugee family, as our president recently tried to tell us? Or is my hope that baby in the manger became a man who died on a cross for my sins? And do my traditions finally put me back into that mindset, or are they stealing that mindset from me?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest. We'll take a break. It's our biweekly series with him on pop culture. Today we're talking about pop Christmas. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that idea of holy days, and then really the heroine of the holiday season, advertising. Stay tuned.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical confessional Christianity and Lutheranism, and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The faith once for all delivered to the saints. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Please consider the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. when you consider your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2015, we're approximately $93,000 short of expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
They sold me a dream of Christmas. They sold me a silent night.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Pop Christmas in our weekly, bi-weekly series on pop culture with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Today, we're talking about that Christmas, the holiday season, the concept of holy days, and what really is kind of the drug of choice for the world's holy days, which is advertising. Pastor Fisk, let's talk a little bit about that, because I'm not going to say that advertising is some sort of evil enterprise, because it isn't, but there is a sense in which, especially during the lead up to Christmas for the church and the churches or the world's preemptive celebration of Christmas, it really becomes kind of intensified. The message is you can't possibly be satisfied with your life the way it is. Here's the solution.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, to really dig into this, you got to go to capitalism, right? And what that means. I'm not an anti-capitalist by any stretch, but the idea is that, you know, in our combined selfishness, we will be able to capitalize on our engagements with each other so that we all benefit. But what this has kind of come to mean is that for the company, the American corporation, it needs to use every possible scenario to convince you of what you've just said, that you're discontent. And so now you can be content by paying for our services, whatever they might be. And in that sense, we very much have a culture and an economy built upon breaking the Ninth and Tenth Commandments in a bizarre way. And the using of our holy days then, again, so this is the holidays for the market are always upticks, and the companies know this. And so what are we in fact celebrating as holy at this point? Is it the economy itself and the American dollar, or is it something else? Did it used to be something else? Has one superseded the other? Last night I was watching some basketball with my wife, and one of the commercials came on, and one of these kinds of commercials comes on. They're every year. There's one of these, and they drive me crazy. It was a car commercial. They pick some song, usually not a holy song, but it's a holiday song. So for Americans, it's part of our holy tradition of whatever Christmas Winterfest is. And it's one of the ones that's like the most jarring, annoying, overplayed ones. It's the one you hear on, you know, every store you go into. This things in the background going on, and they think this is a great idea. What we're going to do is we're going to rewrite the words of this song to be about our product, and we'll have 15 different people sing one line of it in the most painful sounding musical voices you can, with a large man sliding in, you know, on the ground with the last line. It's the kind of thing that makes me personally change the station. It's just so jarring, and that this is like the peak, the pinnacle of our culture, right? This is where all of our craft is being sent, is into remarketing our worst music to get you to buy a car. Who are we in the history of the world? I had a nice chat this morning with my Tuesday Bible study about the decline of the U.S. and not putting our hope in princes, not putting our hope in the existence of our empire forever. And you got to wonder at some points, you know, who are we to think that we deserve to keep existing as a country? You know, when this is the pinnacle of our civilization, the Greeks were producing, you know, these masterpieces of art, tremendous philosophical thoughts about truth, without having necessarily the foundation that we have. We have a foundation and we're throwing away truth. You know, what does this all come to? It doesn't mean I'm against cars, and like you said, advertising is part of our culture. I partake of advertising when I do my show stuff, and you know, it's just part of what we've got to do. But there's something more going on behind how we use these things that is a little grosser, a little more disturbing. And I think, again, to go back to it, I think the finger on the whole thing is that we prefer facades. We prefer fake to real. We actually think fake is better at this point. And I think it's a combination of, on the one hand, I can throw it away if I have to, and on the other hand, I would rather not be troubled with the effort it takes to do real things. And we apply that material principle, that primary idea of our soul as America to our religion. Well, what do you do when you have a real religion that requires suffering, right? Like Christianity does. What do you do with it? You can only make it disposable for so long before you have to actually dispose of it, get rid of it. How do you engage on that? You can't sell Lent, for goodness sakes, right? And that's probably why Advent has vanished. You can't sell Advent. It isn't about joy, at least not till the third week. Yeah, and so it's just so counter to the world. So then what happens to us Christians if we're not at least training ourselves to discern the difference and to walk in both worlds? You know, Jeremiah, in chapter 29, spoke to the exiles of Jerusalem living in exile. He said, you know, buy houses where you are, get married, have kids where you are, plant crops where you are, and pray for your country, because in its welfare you will find your welfare. But he didn't say do everything that they do. Yeah? If anything, he gave them a promise. You're going to be put back into the land. So look for that day, 70 years. He even gave them a timetable. Now, we don't have the timetable. We just have he's coming soon. But at some point, we have to be able to distinguish, to discern between what we are as Christians, who we are, our identity, and what we do in our congregations and in our families, the culture of our families, between the world. And if we don't, the pull of this capitalizing culture, it is so strong that my fear is it will eat us alive, it will consume us, to use your language from earlier.
We spoke earlier about how there may be a glimmer of return to a Christian celebration of these seasons in pop evangelicalism. But this is my concern here, and I wonder what you think about it with the last few minutes left to us. And that is, having, you know, consumed and been consumed by pop culture to such a degree that pop American Christianity has lost the very essential thing that it takes to really observe these things, and that is the concept of holiness, that there is such a thing as holy things. Not everything is mundane. Not everything is banal. There are divine things that God sends into this world. And I'm concerned whether or not, hey, let's do Advent this year, whether that's just another pop fad, disposable plastic fad for pop American Christianity, because they've lost the concept of true holiness. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was getting at, just with totally different words. You can't have fake sacred. Yeah, you can't have plastic sacred. Sacred must be real. It must be set apart and unique. And of course, the true holiness is not any of the things that we do in church on our own end. It is not the music that we play or the decorations that we put up. The true holiness is that set apartness of who Jesus is, the uniqueness of his God in flesh now being given to us to join with our humanity for the sake of that new race, that new eternity, the second Adam who brings us with him into the world of heaven on the last day. So that is the real holiness. But all the things that are revolving around those words and then his gifts, the sacraments that are giving this holiness to us, they have to sort of reflect that, right? And can we even conceive of this? Can we conceive of a religion that doesn't belong to the world, that the world not only doesn't want but is going to hate? What do we do when we're then trying to market that to the world? What do we do when we're trying to market it to ourselves, or when we're judging it based upon whether or not we're enjoying it the way that we enjoy everything else? I might get in trouble for sharing this one, but I'm in this new congregation, St. John Oaks. They treat me very well. I love the people here. They have a fascinating little bit of tradition that I think most Lutheran churches have one of these of one sort or the other. They have this candle that's supposed to be burning all the time. It's called the Eternal Candle. It has traces to Roman Catholic theology, interestingly enough. It's one of those things that I would actually say is too Catholic, but most Lutheran churches have them. And so you light this candle. It's burning all the time in the sanctuary. The only light that's there. Well, ours is actually it plugs in. It's a light bulb that's set up to look like a little holy candle sitting there. And on top of that, it's actually quite old and almost shorting itself out. And so it's one of these moments where you just kind of look at this thing and you think, okay, we're trying really hard here to do what we think is religious. We're trying really hard to continue in the traditions that point to something, and yet somehow that we're missing the point. What is this candle actually here for? What's it teaching us, and why are we doing it? And is it just so that there can always be a light in the sanctuary? Does God need this from us? Has He commanded this in any way? Is it to show forth the presence of the Lord in the Holy Supper or something like that? Or do we just have this thing that we inherited, which is pretend, it's fake, and we're gonna keep it no matter what? Even if it breaks, we're just going to keep it no matter what. And I think that then behind all of this, if we're going to recover anything, and you got to this here too, we've got to seek understanding in the sacred things that exist in the church, but we can't do that as if it's a new fad to seek understanding. The seeking of understanding must begin, as Advent does, with repentance, right? With an awareness that, as every Christian in the history of the world should be able to confess, I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. I have no hope of restoring myself to holiness whatsoever. I have no hope of finding the fear of the Lord or true understanding. Dear Lord, have mercy on me. And as communities, as families, as congregations, if that is our driving attitude and we are attending to the Scriptures, the Lutheran confessions and the traditions of the Lutheran heritage, God will see us through plastic trees and plug in eternal lights with the real thing, the real sacred that matters, which is this infant born to die that we prepare now for his celebrating his incarnation, but also, as always in Advent, celebrating his return, which is the real point of everything.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Oaks, North Dakota, creative director of Worldview Everlasting TV, author of the book, Broken, 7 Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break As Often As Possible. You can purchase this book and find out more about Worldview Everlasting TV at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Jonathan, thanks for being our guest.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
When we come back, Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller will join us. We're going to talk about an evangelical cliche, get his response to it. This one has to do with funerals. It's very popular to hear nowadays in pop American Christianity that a funeral is supposed to be a celebration of life. Is that true? We'll be right back.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
You can receive 50% off the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series during Logia's special Reformation Sale. Books like The Church by Professor Kurt Marquardt, Christology, Law and Gospel and the Means of Grace, and Baptism by Dr. David Scare, and Eschatology by Dr. John Stevenson. Browse before you buy at logia.org. You'll even find essays by Issues, Etc. regular guests for as low as $2. Logia's Reformation Sale, logia.org, logia.org.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.